Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Not excited about that? Yeah, man. Is this what the whole sermon's going to be like today? But it's good to be with you. Hey, can we open, let's take a moment of silence, and can we just honor and remember and pray for those who have sacrificed for our country? Let's honor them in a moment. Yep. And if you would whisper prayers in your heart for those who are serving in harm's way and their families, let's take a moment and do that together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have just shown that no greater love a man has than this, and he lays down his life for our friends. And Lord, we thank you for so many of the people in our country who have done that. Lord, we honor them, we remember them, we pray for their families, their loved ones, their friends today, Lord. And Father, help us just to always steward the gift of freedom well that you've given us. Help us to not become flippant with how we handle it, but help us to use it wisely and to use it for good. So let us think about that this weekend, Lord. Father, we pray for those who are in deployments and dangerous spots. We pray for your protection and for your blessing. Father, we pray for us today that as we look at the scriptures, may we just be filled with the powerful reality of your love for us. I pray it would fill our mind with everything that is good and healthy and right. And I pray you would bless us as we look at the scripture together. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, church, it is so good to be with you. I missed you last week. Our lead pastor's wife, she had a stroke last weekend. So we had to change some things up. Service-wise, but good news is she's doing really well. So for those who have known and been praying for her, thank you for that. And if you could just keep praying for her and full recovery. And we've just kind of been doing a little bit of musical preachers during this time to help cover. So thanks for just your support and your prayers. And keep praying for Sharon, lifting her up in our church. But today we are finishing our sermon series in Romans chapter 8. So we're going to bring that to an end today. And we've been looking at Romans 8 and trying to learn. Paul says this great promise in Romans 8. He says, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And so we've been saying, well, how can we have a mind that is constantly producing life and peace? Because I know we all want that. We don't want the mind that's constantly producing fear and worry and anger and all these other things. I know each of us, we want a mind that is producing life and peace, especially when you can't find life and peace in your own life, right? We want a mind that's able to face circumstances that aren't life and peace and still find life and peace within them. And so that's what we've been looking at in Romans 8, and we're going to finish that today. And as I was been thinking about the mind a lot, I love listening to podcasts about the mind and health. And one of my favorite podcasters is a guy named Andrew Huberman, and he's a Stanford neuroscientist. And he's got this great podcast that's all about kind of the mind and health. And one of the reasons I love it is I feel like if I listen to healthy things, I'll become healthy without doing anything. Because I think it works that way. You agree with that? The other reason I love it is because then I can argue with Allie about medical things. And people will be like, oh, and I'll like start diagnosing them. And Allie will be like, no. And I'll be like, but babe, I listen to a podcast. She's like, yeah, but I have medical degrees. I'm like, well, I still think I win. I listen to a podcast. I know, so I like it for that reason too. But in one of his podcasts, he talked about how our minds are created to operate on a effort-reward cycle. So you know your mind produces different hormones, dopamine and serotonin and these other things. And it works best, he said, is when you are constantly facing what he calls limbic friction in our life, and you're facing that friction, and then you're overcoming it, and it basically regulates these hormones in the way that they're meant to be. Now, the trouble is we want to erase all the friction out of life. So you know when you're like, I'm going to wake up early, and then early comes around, your alarm's going off, and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. That's limbic friction right there. So what you're supposed to do is do it anyway. But what I like to do is just hit snooze. You know, I'm avoiding the friction. Or, you know, maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to eat healthy today. And then you go to a house and there's pizza sitting right there. You're like, come on. And you feel the friction. Well, what you're supposed to do is say, thank you for the pizza, but I'm going to go home and eat a salad. But what I like to do is just go for it at that point, you know? And then get ice cream on the way home because of, what's it matter now? I've already went off the deep end. You with me on this? So, but the way it's supposed to work is that you have effort and you've got to overcome something. And then you get the reward. You know, so you overcome the challenge of getting up, but then you're more productive, or you get a workout, or you spend time praying and reading the scripture, and then you get the reward, the blessing of, you know, the healthy activity that you've done. And so our brains are designed to operate best when there's friction. Your brain does best, but now we've got to learn to overcome it, but that's how our brain operates. And I know all of us, we always want to eliminate the friction from our lives. We want life to be easy and to have very little effort required. What this neuroscientist says is that your brain is not going to be at the healthiest that way. And I find that fascinating because I believe that our spiritual side is the same way. That a relationship with God, church, is meant to have friction in it. It's meant to have struggle in it. And when you face struggle in your relationship with God, or life gets hard and it's impacting your relationship with God, that doesn't mean something is going wrong. That means that God wants to lead you through the process of overcoming that to be at a stronger place. You with me on this? And I know so many times we want to eliminate all the friction from our lives and we want God to take it all away. But what if it has a deeply important purpose? And what if God took it away? It would actually hurt us more than it would help us. And I want to say this is part of the Apostle Paul's argument at the end of Romans 8 that we're going to look at today. That he's going to say, hey, you're not going to get a free pass at the struggle and the pain and the pulling of life, but here's what you know. Through that, you will experience something incredible about God's love for you. And so let's look at this together. Romans 8. I'm going to read a couple verses that we looked at last week just to bring a little context, and then we'll look at some ones we haven't looked at. So I'm going to start at verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's the friction there. Do you hear it? Nakedness, danger, all this stuff. Is that going to separate us from the love of Christ? Paul says, hey, we're like sheep ready to be slaughtered. Paul's saying we're vulnerable. We're in harm's way. We're not in this easy path. But look at verse 37. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, this word, this phrase, more than conquerors, is one Greek word. The New Testament was originally written in Greek, and it's this word, hupernikomen. And the word, the root of the word is Nike, which means victory. See, Nike stole from the ancient Greeks. That's where the whole brand came from. But it means, that word means victory. And huper is a preposition that means above or beyond. So if it was just Nikomen, it would be we are victors. We are made victors. But Paul puts this huper on it where he's really emphasizing it. He's saying you're beyond a victor. Like you're beyond winning. You're way above it. He's making this huge point. It's a very kind of unusual word that you don't see a lot, but Paul's really going out of his way that said, in the midst of this friction, in this trouble, because of Christ's love for you, your identity is more than a conqueror, is beyond a conqueror. Even Paul's like, we who are sheep to be slaughtered in this moment are more than conquerors. It's an interesting way of looking at life in the world and our relationship with God, isn't it? And Paul says this, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And that's the end of Romans 8. It's a beautiful place to end, isn't it? Now, Paul, I believe, is ending, and he's sharing two very important ideas with us that I want to share with you today. And they're ideas about two things that don't break easy. Two things that don't break easy. They're not fragile. Might be vulnerable, but they're not fragile. And the first thing that Paul says doesn't break easy is God's love for you. And that's the main point of these last verses, that God's love for you is not going to break. No matter what is ahead of you, nothing can pull you away from it. Sure, there might be pull in your life, but it's never going to be strong enough to rip you out of the arms of God, which is a beautiful thing to know. But here's the second thing that he says isn't fragile either. It's you. It's you, and it's me. That God has given you, there is more in you than you think there is. Not because of you, but because of Christ's love in you. And because of that, we can face the challenges of life. And Paul says we can see our identity not as a victim, but as someone who is more than a conqueror. Whatever that category is, that we are someone who is more than a victor. So two things he wants us to know that don't break easy, that are anti-fragile, you and God's love for you. And they're both intertwined. So I want to talk about that today. I want to begin by just sharing those two concepts of these things that aren't fragile and then why that's important into our lives. So let's talk about the first part of it. Paul is saying, He's taking this time in Romans chapter 8, and if you remember Jovan's sermon last week, it's all these questions that he asks. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? What shall separate, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And there's all these questions, and I just want to point out something really cool that Paul is doing here. Instead of questioning God about life, he's questioning life about God. You know how you get in those moments where you're like, God, why is this happening? What is going on? And that's one approach. And we've all done it. And we all get it. But Paul takes a different approach. He's questioning life about God. Saying, all right, life, you got all this against me, but let me ask you a question. If God is for me, can you really be against me? And he's totally flipping it. And I think that's so powerful. See, sometimes having a healthy mind is just about inverting our experience a little bit. The power of perspective cannot be overlooked. And here Paul just gives us this beautiful example of it, that he's looking at the difficulty of life, but he's asking different questions than we normally ask. So we see it begin that way. But then he says this. He says that he's vulnerable right now, but not fragile. He said, we're like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. And we face nakedness and danger and sword and famine and all of these things. And we're vulnerable, but we're not fragile. And I just want to remind you again today that, church, God's love does not remove all the pain and difficulty from life. It does not remove all the friction. God loves us in the friction, in the struggle, and ultimately he loves us through it. And I think there's some very important realities that come out of it. I was reading this week about this thing called the hygiene hypothesis. And it's a way that scientists try to understand why allergies go up in societies that get like more wealthy and more developed. So in America, over the years, allergies have just skyrocketed in decades, you know, even from like the 90s to where they're at. Allergies have gone up, especially in kids, tremendously. And scientists are like, well, why is this? Because our world is cleaner, it's safer, you know, all this stuff is good. So this doesn't seem to make sense. You would think that they would at least stay the same or maybe even go down. But what they found through studying this is that the problem is that we shield our kids so much, and so they don't get that exposure that sort of inoculates them. And so the safer society gets, on the one hand, you're like, well, everything's so safe in, you know, in terms of allergies and whatnot. But the problem is that then it ends up making them less prepared, if you will. And that's the happiness or the hygiene hypothesis, not the happiness hypothesis, is a lot different than that. But I thought that was interesting because the point is that there is a certain exposure that can actually make you healthier. And God kind of does the same thing with us, right? We want him to take all the pain away. We want him to remove all the obstacles. But instead, God exposes us to those realities because he wants to make us into something more than we are right now. And in these realities, when we walk through them with God, we experience deep and real change. And so I want you to know today, you are stronger than you think you are. In the things that you're facing today, because I know we're all carrying different difficulties into this room, those things are not greater than Christ in you. And you can know this, that they have a purpose, and the purpose is not God punishing you. The purpose is not God giving up on you and saying, you know what, I'm done with you, so I'm throwing you to the wolves. Paul's saying, no, no, don't ever think that's what it is. The purpose is something far deeper and better than that, but you have to walk with God through it. You with me? And you are strong enough to do that because God has made you that way. You are vulnerable. You'll experience pain. It won't always be easy, but you're not fragile. You don't break easy. God has made your spirit. I know you might not feel like it, but God has made your spirit way stronger than you think. And here's the even better news. God's love is also not fragile. Paul says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And if you remember Romans 1, it begins, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it ends with, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. That's the bookends of Romans 8. There's no condemnation. All the junk in your life, God does not hold against you or me. And then it ends, and hey, by the way, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Well, amen. What is Paul showing us? He's showing us, man, that God's love is a different kind of love than we experience in this life. We all try to love each other well, right? But we don't do it perfectly. Did you know that? Yeah. Just making sure. We don't do it. We don't do it perfectly. We fail in our ability to love. Sometimes we should the people we love so much, right? We love them, and because we love them and they love us, we think like we can totally shape them and tell them what to do all the time. And, you know, well, you know, you should do this, and we think that's like love. With me on that? Some of you are like, I'm not going to admit that right now. My spouse is sitting next to me. Sometimes we withdraw love from people when they don't do what we want. Our love kind of becomes conditional. Yeah. We love them when they're doing what we want, and then when they don't, we kind of put the walls up a little bit and we withdraw until they get back in line. Then we let them down again, and we do that. We limit our love based on people's behavior. We open our life to a certain point, and then maybe others we fully even cut out of our life. But you know, God does none of those things. Do you know that? He does none of those things. In every way that we imperfectly love each other, God's love is of a different category. It's a love that begins in no condemnation, and it ends in no separation. Paul's saying there's nothing that can break God's love for us. I've been reading this week a book called A Grace Disguised, and it's about a man named Jerry Sitzer. And when he was about 40 years old, he had three kids, a wife, and his wife, three kids, and his mom were driving from a school event, and they got hit by a drunk driver. And in the accident, his wife, his mom, and one of his daughters all died in a moment. And him and his other two kids made it out with, you know, minor injuries. But he stepped into his greatest nightmare, basically. And he talks about how he had to learn to walk through that pain with God, and it wasn't easy. And when it first happened, he was so mad because they were faithful, loving family. I mean, just so many good things. They loved God. They trusted God. They wanted to serve God, you know, and that was a deep part of their life. And then they went through this tragedy, and he was devastated, as you could imagine, but deeply confused as well. And he had all this anger towards God. And some people in his life were like, whoa, Jerry, you better be careful with that anger. You gotta, don't just kind of keep that to yourself, basically. And so he tried, but it didn't work. And then he realized, he's like, I don't think God is that fragile that he can't take this anger. And he began to vent it to God. And he began to read the Psalms and see that so many of the Psalms are God's servants venting their hearts, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and just venting them to God and saying, man, I don't get this. This is what's going on. But through that process, it helped him to keep moving forward. And he could do that because God's love isn't fragile, church. His love for you isn't fragile. He knows where we're coming from. When we vent our heart to him, he can take it. You're not going to run him off. Oh, you think that about me? Oh my gosh. I'm out of here. His love is way deeper than that, God, right? This is what Paul said, that there's nothing, his love is so strong, there's nothing you can do to break it. There's nothing that can happen to you that will break it. We live from this place of deep love, unlike any love we've experienced in our life. And Paul says, I need you to know that. I need you to know God's love is not fickle. And I know some of us, we've grown up that way, where people have told us God's love, it can turn on a dime. You better keep your act together, because if you don't, you're going to be in a bad place. But I want you to see, Paul is showing us a completely different reality than that. You with me on this? And you need to know that in your mind. you need to look at everything that you're going through through the lens of God's love is here, and it is as present and real as it's ever been. And this circumstance, my actions, my failures, don't change that. Because here's why that's so important. Then you will actually be willing to walk with God through it. If you think God's love is fragile, you will walk on eggshells in your relationship with Him, and it won't be healthy. But when you know that His love runs deeper than anything you could imagine, you will trust in Him, you will be vulnerable with Him, you will walk with Him in a radically different way. You with me on this? And Paul says there's two things that aren't fragile. It's you, and it's God's love for you. And they go together. And you need to know it. Then he says God's love is also incredibly productive in our life. He says through it, we become more than conquerors. It doesn't mean that as soon as we open our heart to God, everything in our life gets easy. But it does mean that God's love for us gives us all the resources that we need to face whatever we're facing today. I know we all are facing different things. Some of us might be facing loss. Some of us might be facing relationship struggles. Some of us might be facing job and financial pressure. Some of us might be facing like a big opportunity that we feel inadequate for. We wonder, can we do it? But here's what Paul is saying. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. There's more in you than you think, than you know, because Christ's love is in you. I like listening to this guy, David Goggins. He's an absolute psychopath, but he's kind of motivating at the same time. That sounds really weird when I say that out loud. But he was a Navy SEAL, and now he's like, you know, this ultra marathon runner. And when he talks about, like, just does these crazy, insane workouts all the time. But he has this rule. He says when you are, you know, physically exhausted, he believes you're only at 40% of your capacity. So, you know, when you're like, I got nothing left, he said that's a trigger to know you're only at 40%. You believe that? I don't know. I like the idea of it, though. Don't you? So far, that idea has never helped me, but I like the thought. I like what he said. He said there's more in you. And this is what Paul is saying, church. There is more in you than you think. And it's not because you're enough. I think in our culture, we try to hype ourselves up by saying, oh, you're enough. And we try to hype ourselves up through like raising our own self-esteem. But Paul has a different approach. It's not because you're enough. It's because Christ is more than enough in you. There's a difference there. I'm not enough. You're not enough. You're not meant to. You're not meant to be enough. You don't have to be enough. But Christ is more than enough in you. And so when we face the challenges of life, leaning not on our own capabilities, but on the inseparable love of Christ, church, that's when we find the strength and the resources that we need. The walls of life are meant to drive us deeper into the sufficiency of the love of Jesus Christ. If you're at a wall today, that wall might actually be God's grace. But you have to look at that wall and not just drive into your own resources, but you have to drive into the resources that are yours through the love of Jesus Christ. You with me on this? They're a little bit different paths. If you just go into yourself and you trust yourself and you rely on yourself, the well's going to get dry really, really quick. But if you go to Christ, there is no limit to how much you can draw from that well. And it will give you everything that you need. Now, can I just remind you why Paul says we're more than conquerors? Through this whole chapter, he tells us these things that we need to keep in our minds again and again. I just want to remind you of them. Number one, we live free from condemnation. guilt and shame don't have to run our life. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Second, Paul tells us God's Spirit lives in us. Paul says that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Why are you more than a conqueror? Because that powerful Spirit lives in you and lives in me. And the things that we face, we can face with His help. God's Spirit gives us power and life to follow God. God's Spirit leads us to the knowledge that He is our loving Father. Paul says in Romans 8, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out, Daddy. We cry out, we can connect to God in intimate and deeply loving ways, and we can find the strength that we need. God's Spirit helps us to know we have a great future ahead. God's Spirit helps us to endure suffering with hope. God's Spirit intercedes for us. He prays for us. He speaks to the Father about what we actually need in ways that we can't express. He's for us. God will give generously all things to us as He freely gave us His Son. We're right in His sight, and His love is inseparable. All of those things, Paul is saying, are realities in your life and in my life. Why are we more than conquerors? Because of that list. Because those things are true through the message of the gospel, through the work of Jesus Christ. And if those things are true, then church, you have what you need for the road ahead. You have what you need for the road ahead. That God won't always make the road easy, but He has prepared you for that road, whatever it is. And you can keep walking with Him. And here's the last thing I want to talk about, is just this idea of God's grip on us. Because this is what these last verses are about. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. My grandpa Kelly, he worked like manual labor his whole life. Something to do with like steel, but I know he was like always carrying like heavy metal things. And so this guy had a vice grip for a handshake. You ever shake someone's hand like that? And as a kid, he would always do this like little game where, you know, when I would shake his hand, he'd be like, all right, squeeze it as hard as you can. And I'd like, just squeeze it. I'm also a left-handed, so I felt like I was at a disadvantage. But anyway, I'm not making excuses, but, you know, let's try the left-handed handshake. What's up? But I'd squeeze it. And he would just like act like it was nothing. And then he would squeeze my hand. And it would really hurt. Because he had like a Ken Henry grip. You know, just the Hulk. Don't shake Ken's hand today. But he had a really powerful grip. But, you know, his whole life worked. And my grip was obviously not quite there, especially as a kid. And here's what Paul is saying to us. He's saying, look, I know you have a grip on God, but what you need to know is God has a way stronger grip on you. And church, here's the truth. Some days your grip on God is going to fail. It's going to be too weak. It's going to wear out. You're going to lose your grip on Him. And in losing your grip on Him, you're going to feel like you've lost His love. But here's what Paul is saying to us, and you just need to know this. Even when you lose your grip on God, He doesn't lose His grip on you. Even when you let go, and maybe you're in a season where you're like, I'm letting go, I'm trying to get out of this. Guess what? You're not going to be able to, because His grip on you is infinitely stronger, and He will not let go. And no matter what's pulling you in life right now, these circumstances, and they're trying to rip you out of His hands, or you feel like they're just creating this great distance, guess what? They're not going to win. Because His grip on you is greater than all the most dangerous and difficult and challenging circumstances that life can throw at you. And so, church, I want you to worship the God who loves you like that. I want you to take time this week, today, and I want you to thank him that he is a God that will not lose his grip. And then here's the other thing. I want you to trust him into whatever challenge is ahead. See, I believe this, that when our safety is found in our relationship with God, we're so much more prepared to face the world. When you try to find safety in the world and not in your relationship with God, we're so much less prepared for the challenges ahead. My daughter, Emery, she is so risk averse. She is just not a risk taker at all. And so I'm always like trying to like push her a little bit, you know, to like just do stuff. Nothing crazy. Don't give me those weird looks right now. You're like, but just really small stuff. And so I'll tell her, I'll be like, listen, just kind of come down these stairs, whatever. Do you jump over here? Daddy's right here, and you won't fall. Because if you fall, I'll catch you. And so far, I'm batting 1,000. Doing pretty good. Now, the day is going to come where she's going to know, well, he might be able to, but she doesn't know that yet. And so now, whenever she's kind of like, she'll like work up the courage, she'll always say, Daddy, no fall, no fall. Like, yeah, babe, no fall. You're good. I'm right here. Daddy, no fall. No, yeah, no fall. You're not going to fall. Just go. But she's emboldened knowing that her dad's always going to catch her. Here's the truth. Your Heavenly Father will always catch you. He really will. He won't fail you. And so I want you to know today, whatever you have to face, whatever struggle you have to keep going through, whatever challenge is ahead, whatever maybe opportunity for growth that God's like saying, hey, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to serve in a different way. Whatever that is, I want you to go knowing your Heavenly Father is present with you. And because he is, and because nothing can rip you out of his hand, you can take that step. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that nothing can separate us from your love. I thank you that we have a Heavenly Father who will never fail us and who never will forsake us. Father, I don't want to take those realities for granted. I don't want to go through life just insecure in your willingness to help me, in your willingness to provide for me, in your willingness to meet the challenges of our life. But I want to be that son, and I know, Lord, we want to be those kids, those sons and daughters who walk into the difficulties of life knowing we are not alone, who walk into the fire with faith knowing that our God will meet us in our time of need. Father, let us find rest in your inseparable love. I pray it would prepare us for what we're facing right now, Lord. Maybe some of us, we are so beat down. We are so beat up by the circumstances of life, and we're overwhelmed. Lord, for those of us in that spot, I just pray for the gift of being overwhelmed by your love. I pray, Lord, we could just take some moments and not be centered on our circumstances, but we could be centered on the love that you have for us. And then we could have strength for our circumstances. I pray, Lord, for those of us who you're just calling us to take a step of courage that we've never done. Maybe it's to lead a life group. Maybe it's to serve. Maybe it's a new job opportunity. Maybe it's to love our family in a different way. Maybe it's to get help with our addiction. And Lord, we're looking at the thing we know we need to do, and we're just scared. And we wonder, do I have what it takes? And I pray, Lord, today we would know we don't have what it takes alone. But Christ in us is more than enough. And we are not alone. We have what it takes because your love rests on our lives and nothing can take it away. Father, give us that strength then to take the step we need to take. Give us the strength to keep moving forward towards your calling and your purpose. And I pray we could see the strength of your love for us. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.